It was amazing. I had one little girl. She was so precious. And she come back to me, and she was trying to tell me about Pontius Pilate, who was the governor, and he was a mean guy, and he was putting Jesus, who was God, to death because he didn't do no wrong, and he went to the cross, and then he died, and he actually died, and then he was buried, and then 3 days later, by his own power, he come out of the grave. And when you put your trust in Jesus, and I'm like, oh, I want to trust Jesus now. Can I get saved again? That was amazing. And I thought, wow, these kids are smart. And I did have some ask some questions. I had one child ask me, why did God make us like this? And I said, make us like what? Why do we have two hands and two feet, two legs and two arms, two eyes, two ears, but only one mouth, one nose? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I know that James tells us, you know, we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak. So I can say, well, maybe he created two ears so that we could stop and listen, and only one mouth so that we wouldn't be running it so much. But one nice little girl asked me, why did God create leopards with spots? Isaiah says they can't change their spots. Does that help? Like, no, that doesn't answer my question. Sorry, I don't know. I wish more adults came like children did. They believe what they're taught. Amen? They believe what you tell them. That's why you got to be careful not to lie to your little kids, because they will absorb everything that you say. And I did have one leader. We were praying for the kids, and throughout the whole week they were asking, what can we pray for you about? And so the last day they said, let's pray and thank God for something. And so it's the first time I think I've ever heard it, but a leader prayed for a child thanking Jesus for her mom who picks up dog poop. I said, what? Hey. There you go, man. She's thankful she don't have to do it. So I thank God for moms. I thought, you're teaching your kid to pray, you know. When we say be open and honest about that, I'm not exactly sure that's what it means. But it's all good. We talk about prayer. You probably see these little things up here. These little castles and these little crowns and queen. These are the prayers of the children. And these were taped to the cross in the teen room. And every time we come through, we would look at these and we would pray for them. And what I want you to do is at the end of the message, when we give an invitation, if you don't have something to come and pray about, now you do. I want you to come and I want you to pray. Because these kids, they are open and honest in their prayers. This young child wanted to pray for grandma who has lung cancer. I thought, what a precious, precious child. Please come and pray for her grandma. This child wanted mommy to come home for good. Can you believe that? That's amazing. Please come pray for this child. That's why we're here, to pray for our kids, to pray for our children. And it's important, so vitally important. We are wore out. Right, Pastor Matt?
Yeah, I'm good.
And so there's so many things that we have to do throughout the week. And then we come in on Sunday and we're like, hey, did you do that? Yeah, I forgot, man. VBS. Like, oh, that's all right. We forgive you. So it takes so much out of you. But it's so much fun and it's so important because it's for these kids. And so let's open with a word of prayer. I got one question, and then we'll get into the armor of God as we talked about with our kids this week. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for just being with us. I thank you for our children. I thank you for our youth. I thank you for our young adults, our middle-aged, our older. Lord, we thank you for everybody, because everybody has their part to play in the kingdom. And so we want to do what we need to do for you, God, to give you honor and glory so that we can bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so whether it's a young child, a teenager, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or hundreds, Lord, we need to be witnessing to people to bring them into your kingdom. We are your kingdom keepers. And so, Lord, I pray that your spirit would open our minds this morning to your word, to the truth that you would have for us. We love you, God, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the question I have, and this was, as I said, this is Ask the Pastor Month. The question came in, and I think it ties in well with our message this morning. But the question was, does the Holy Spirit teach us, or do people? Should we listen to people, or do we just rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us? And that's a great question. And a lot of people have taken the scripture, the Bible, out of context. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the NLT puts it this way. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third part of the Trinity. And we know the Bible, Old and New Testament, says that God cannot lie. It's not a lie what he teaches you. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Jesus. And some of you would say, well, right there is a passage that says the Holy Spirit teaches us. I don't have to come to church, Pastor Dan. I don't have to listen to you. I'd say, well, don't get so quick to stop with two ears and let your one mouth run rampant. But on the other end of the spectrum, somebody would say this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The NLT also says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So by the command of Jesus Christ himself, he says that we are to go and teach. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Also, the NLT says, now these are the gifts of Christ that he gave to the church. So talking about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel is such a broad thing because there's so much involved in there. When Jesus died, he just didn't stay in the grave. He went somewhere. The Bible says that he led captivity captive and he went to heaven. And he, so all the saints that were down, well, we don't want to get into all that. But anyway, he gave gifts to men. There was a purpose for his death, burial, and resurrection. And after his resurrection, he gave gifts to men. And so here are some of the gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And so we see that we are given a responsibility. So the question is, who teaches us? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it people? Well, let's go through that real quick. Not real quick. We got about 3 hours and we'll be done. And the kids are going, what? Give me the crayons, Mom. You'll listen. Thank you, Eden. I appreciate you. It all starts and stops with the Holy Spirit. He is the final. I'll say it that way. He is the start, the beginning, and the end. But let me explain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. What we want to teach is what the Holy Spirit teaches, what we are given by the Spirit of God. I don't want to come to you and give you eloquent, fancy words. And most of you know that I don't speak eloquently in English with fancy words. So we want to speak what the Holy Spirit is going to give, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, the natural person or the unsaved person or the person who lives in the kingdom of darkness, they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to them. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, it all starts with the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again. You have to be saved in order for you to receive the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, truly, truly, I say that unless one is born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Remember, we're talking about the second song. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you can't even see the kingdom of light. You're still in the kingdom of darkness. Amen? And that's what happens. At salvation, now you are given the Holy Spirit. And now you can understand spiritual things. Because they are understood by the Spirit. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it all starts with him. moves on to parents. Parents are the first and foremost, most important teacher of your children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, it says that these words that I command you today to be on your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Every second of every day, you need to be teaching God's word to your kids. Amen? We do a good job of how to play soccer and basketball and baseball and all those things, but we need to be doing a better job of giving them Jesus. And even though we had six children saved right here at Mission Point during VBS, I've got one that, Holden, can you come here? Oh, look at this. We were having breakfast, you know, this morning before Sunday school, and I asked him if he'd come up here, and he's like, all right, you all right? You okay? Just look at me. Don't look at them. It's okay. Just look at me. Awesome. So I've got a little Holden here. On Thursday night, when they went home, Holden asked Mom and Dad a question. Did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior on Thursday? Yeah. No? Yeah? Yeah? Did you put your trust in Jesus on Thursday? Yes? No? Yes. Okay. Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much. You go have a seat. Thank you. I was afraid I wouldn't get it out of him, but he did it. That's awesome. Romans 1:16, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. That's the power of God to salvation. So there it is. So Holden goes home, and he's like, man, I need to accept Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's why we have parents. Matter of fact, my daughter Cheyenne, we were going to a wedding that day, and she comes down and she's bawling, and Emily's like, oh my gosh, what happened? What's the matter? And she says, I don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus. Man, how awesome is that? Praise God for parents. You have the most important job in your home to teach your children. John 5:19 says that what the Son sees the Father do, the Son will do in the same way. What you say, how you speak, how you act, your children are watching. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because they will repeat the same thing. And one child's going to go home and pray and thank God for Mom cleaning up some stuff. And I won't say it again. That way they forget it. But they won't. They're like sponges. They absorb. Listen, parents, your job is important. Vitally important. Grandparents, guess what? You don't ever stop training up your kids. Amen? And you don't ever stop training up your grandkids. Right? I heard Paul Tripp say this. It said, if you parent your kids right, you can enjoy your grandkids. But if you don't, you'll be raising your grandkids. Hello? We need to be doing a good job. We need to be biblically training our kids up so that they can train their kids up. We want to enjoy the grandkids, but we also need to teach them. Parents, grandparents, you're teachers. You are teachers. You're important teachers. We also need Sunday school teachers. We need junior church teachers. We need adult Sunday school teachers. We need Awana teachers. We need Wednesday night teachers. We need pastors. We need leaders. We need all kinds of people that are going to teach. That's what Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 is. It says that Christ gave gifts to the church. Listen, do you know your gift? And if you do, are you using it in the church? We need prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We need people to equip God's people to go out and give God glory out into the world. We are the kingdom of light, and we need to shine light into the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Amen? We need people to teach. If you've been given the Spirit to teach, the gift, use it. Use it. Man, and not just, listen, they go, well, I've never been given the Spirit to teach. I've never got that gift of the Spirit to teach, so I can't be a teacher. So I should never teach anybody. That's wrong. Because in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus commissioned every single one of you. Children, you're the same. If you have received Jesus, listen, Jesus says, go. And make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We got three baptisms coming up. Amen? I'd have had it today, but then we got all this stuff here, and you'd have never seen them. But anyway, we need to be training people up. Jesus says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. The first command is to believe in Jesus. I've got Holden, there's one, and we've got six others that did. That's amazing. Well, I can't witness to somebody. I can't lead them to the Lord. If you can't lead a child to the Lord, then you're unsaved. Hello, did you accept Jesus? Okay, if you accepted Jesus, then you can lead somebody to Jesus. Amen? Hello, come on now. It's as easy, a child can do it. Children can lead other children. Teenagers can lead teenagers. Adults can lead adults. Romans 1:16, that's what he just said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God to salvation. If you don't know the basic gospel salvation, man, you might want to check your salvation. Leading someone to the Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection, placing your trust in what Jesus did. Isn't that amazing? Repentance, change of mind, turn direction from sin and self, and put all your trust in Jesus. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's hard for some. That's why we don't live in the kingdom of fear. Because Jesus didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, we're on a roll. Now, not only does the Spirit teach us, not only do our parents teach us, do our grandparents teach us, we have teachers, pastors, leaders, Sunday school people, Awana workers. Man, those are so important to teach our children. But here's a big one. You're to teach yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I'll give you the King James Version because I remember this and this is how I regurgitate it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every single person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is to study the word of God for themselves. You are to know the word of God. You are to be saturated with God's word. And that is vitally important for you to know what God's word says. Now, let me give you two understandings of the word of God. When the Bible was being written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was revealing all of his truth. We have the Old Testament, and then you come to the New Testament. It wasn't written yet after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. 20 to 30 years plus, we get the Gospels and the Epistles, and it was probably 60 years after Jesus' resurrection that the Apostle John wrote Revelation. And so when we talk about God's revealing or his revelation, he has revealed everything that he wants us to know. Amen? Deuteronomy 29:29, Moses says, the secret things belong to God, but everything he has revealed, we're responsible for. The Old Testament people weren't responsible for the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. But now after the New Testament is written, based on the event that happened thousands of years ago, we are responsible for it. And so we need to know it. But God is not going to reveal any new information. We have his completed revelation. Amen?
Amen.
That's what revelation is. It's the Greek word apocalypsis. It's where we get the English word apocalypse from. Doesn't takes away the fun when you talk about apocalypse. People think of destruction and death, and all it means is just revealing. It's Jesus revealing. That's apocalypse. So we already have every bit of revelation. So, and I know people say, God, reveal this to me, reveal this to me. I think a better word would be illuminate. If God has written everything that we need to know, the best way to describe it is to turn the light on so you can see what's there. Amen? So you want the Holy Spirit to illuminate to you what is already written. So you still need to listen to your parents, to your grandparents, to teachers, to pastors, but you want the Holy Spirit, and here's the key. You need to pray. I think this is one of the most neglected things of Christians, prayer. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit illuminates to your mind the understanding. Amen? There's a lot of false teachers that go out into the world, and you need something that's going to be the deciding factor. And that's where we begin, and this is where we end. That's where the Holy Spirit will help give you understanding. Because none of God's word will contradict itself, right? And so you'll have good understanding by the Holy Spirit. So we need both. You need the Holy Spirit who is given to you at salvation to help you understand truth. And we need to be taught things. In Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" That's what we need to do. We need to do a better job of explaining the Word of God to people so that they can be destroying arguments. And so when we talk about destroying what arguments, what are we destroying? 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, John writes this. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God." What is the Spirit of God? Well, it's every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And there's a lot more to it than just that. It's not just confessing Jesus is God and he come in the flesh. It is about every Old Testament reference that he is the Messiah. It is the Scripture of God, the truth being revealed, and Jesus fulfilling every bit of that in the New Testament. Amen? It's all of those things. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Verse 4. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. For he who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit of God, amen? For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. But we're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, the people that listen to what the Word of God says, the interpretation of what the Word of God says, by prayer and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the people that listen to us, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen? There is a spirit of error. Remember the song that we talked about, the kingdom of lies, fear, and shame? And then there's the kingdom of truth where Jesus reigns. So we want to stand in the battle for truth. It's a battle for the mind. We need to know truth. It is a battle for the mind. Putting on the armor of God so that we won't lose this generation. None need to be lost. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's get to the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 13 through 18, we find the armor. And Paul says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Verse 16. "In all circumstances, take up the..." Remember that song? "Take up the shield of faith." Yeah. Man, I'm sleeping. Good. Yeah, yeah. "Take up the shield of faith." Yeah. Oh, man, that stuff gets stuck in your head. But that's why you put scripture to music. That's what spiritual songs and hymns are for. So you put scripture to music because that's the best way to memorize. Amen? And so they'll never forget the shield of faith. There was the belt of truth. Remember that? One of them things? They break out into one of them things? No? That's it. Squirrel! We got sidetracked here. All right. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of... with which you'll be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." I think we missed that last one. But let's go through the armor real quick. So when we talk about the armor of God, the first is the belt of truth. Do you know if you don't have the truth, man, you're not going to be prepared from the beginning. And so most Roman soldiers had these big long tunics, and they couldn't run very far. So when they were getting ready to be prepared for battle, they would tuck all that stuff into their belt. And it was the belt of truth, so you need to be prepared with truth. And you'll only be prepared with truth if you know the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And then you're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the breastplate of righteousness is day-to-day righteous living, doing what is right in the eyes of God, rightly clothed. And so that's obedience to the truth. You're being obedient to God's word. Then you have the shoes of the gospel of peace. Listen, that is standing firm in the truth. Do you believe the gospel? Don't let anybody shake you. You have firm footing in the gospel of peace because now you have peace with God. Amen? And then you have, of course, the shield of faith. We take up faith in truth so that we can protect us against the temptation, the fiery darts of the evil one. And the helmet of salvation, it is a battle for the mind with truth. We need to guard our minds, right? And so that's why you put on the helmet of salvation. And the one that's most important to me is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's not a big, huge sword. It's a small little dagger. And it's used for precision. You need to use it precisely. And it's not some big general word of God. It's a specific statement that you need for a specific temptation or lie. And that's what you're doing. You're delivering a death blow with precision. The sword of the Spirit is your only weapon of attack. You know you only have one weapon of attack? And that's the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God before you can use it. But the very last part. Go back one slide, please, Steve. It says, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to do some English structure sentence things, and I bet I'm going to stay away from that. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then there's a little comma, and it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Do you know that that's part of the armor of God? Go forward one slide, Stevie. Do you see prayer on there? We don't, do we? We don't see prayer because we see the belt, we see the shoes, the sword, the shield, the breastplate, and the helmet. But where is prayer? Prayer is part of the armor of God. And I think we miss that. Pay close attention. We need to be praying at all times. All times. Pray before you study the Word of God. Pray before you get up. Pray after you get up, unless praying in your sleep. Pray before you go to school. Pray before you go to work. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your country. Pray for the world. Pray for elections. Pray. Man, do you know how much we need to be praying about? There's a lot of prayer time there. Pray all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so when it comes to the kingdom of truth where Jesus reigns, there are four important aspects. And we'll close with these. Number one, you need to know the truth. You need to be saturated with the Word of God. You need to have God's Word saturated in your life. You need to know the truth. That's where everything stems from. You can't be prepared with truth if you don't know it. You can't be obedient to the truth if you don't know it. You can't protect your mind with the truth if you don't know it. The first thing is you need to know the truth. In John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus says to some Jews that actually accepted him, he said, if you are daily in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. The truth sets us free. And we know what the truth is because Jesus said in John 17, 17, your word is truth. We know that God's word is truth. And so we need to understand God's word because that will set us free. Second thing is you need to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit that indwells you, he is not going to take control. He wants you to give him control. He will never take over. When you take over, he will step back. That's why we need to be led of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 16, Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. In John 16, 13, Jesus says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. Let the Spirit guide you. We need to be led of the Spirit. Number three, we need to pray. 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 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. You should be ready to pray. And so I've already asked you in the very beginning, and I hope that you are prepared to come and pray. Pray for this child. Pray for that child. Pray for this child. Pray for this child. You may not know. They may just be, hey, pray that I move on to the next school year next year. Okay, well, that's simple enough. But pray for their salvation. Pray for their mom and dad's salvation. Pray that he gets saved and then he can go back and witness to mom and dad. Pray that mom and dad get saved and then they witness to their mom and dad so grandma and grandpa are saved. Pray for their home. Pray for their finances. Pray to keep them safe. Pray. There's all kinds of prayers that you can have. When you pray over these, you're not just praying for that specific request. Do that, but pray. Pray without ceasing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your mind in Christ Jesus. We need that as part of the helmet of salvation, prayer. We need to protect our minds. Number four, you need to put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. If you don't have all the armor on, it isn't going to do you no good. And don't forget the aspect of prayer, because that's the most neglected by Christians. We need to be imitators of Jesus. We need to be imitators of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We need to come as children to Christ, and we need to be imitators of Jesus. Like a child imitates dad. Amen? In John 5, 19, Jesus said, what the Son sees the Father do, the Son does in the same way. So as we see Jesus, we need to be imitators of him. Matter of fact, so if you're going to put on the armor of God, I would probably just say it this way. Just put on Jesus. In Romans 13, 14, Paul says the same thing. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for your flesh. Just put on Jesus. He's the armor. He is the armor. Just put on Jesus. Do what Jesus would have you to do. Amen? I know we always have that, what would Jesus do? Well, listen, Jesus would get up and walk on water. And I don't think he's going to have us walk on water. But it's what would Jesus have me to do, not what would Jesus do. I mean, he just creates stuff and speak things and people come out of the grave. And I don't think he's going to have me do that. But there is things that he would have me to do. What would Jesus have you to do? Everybody has their part to play. And you ought to be doing your part. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need prayer warriors. We need people to put on the armor of God every day. And it's for a very important purpose. Why do we pray? Why do we study the truth? Why do we put on the armor of God? It's for a very important purpose, like Paul says in Acts 26, verse 18. So that we can open their eyes, so that they may turn from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, so that they can turn from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. We are keepers of the kingdom. We are called to make a stand for what is right in the armor of God, turning people from darkness to light. And that's why we need to understand the truth and apply the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says we should be destroying arguments. Most of us can't fight ourselves out of a wet paper bag because we can't destroy arguments from the truth of God's word. We need to know the truth of God's word so that we can be destroying arguments. And so the thing that we destroy is entrance into the kingdom. You know what that is? How do you get into the kingdom of light? It's only by Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes unto the Father except by me. Amen. It's only through Jesus. He is the only access into the kingdom. Jesus died so that those who are in the kingdom of darkness can be adopted into the kingdom of light. Amen. And you are the keepers of the kingdom to go and witness to the world. Be reconciled back to the God. Be part of our kingdom. You don't have to be a part of that one. But the truth is, it is a choice. It is a choice. And the question comes about, Which kingdom do you belong to? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for just the music you've allowed us to memorize your word. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for your armor. We thank you for so many things. Lord, we know the world is coming to an end, and we want to do our part in your kingdom. If we are part of your kingdom, then we have a part to play. We want to be witnessing. We want to be teaching. We want to be discipling. We want to be doing our part, witnessing for others for salvation. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here, whether it be a child or adult, maybe they've never made that commitment to trust in Jesus. They've never asked Jesus to forgive them of them their sinfulness, all of their sins, and to come into their life and save them. If they have never done that, Lord, let today be the day of salvation. I pray, God, that your people can, as keepers of the kingdom, maybe they pray for illumination by the Spirit to understand your word a little better. Maybe they pray that they could stand in boldness of your Spirit so that they could witness to people a little better. I pray, God, that folks would come down and flood this altar and pick up these requests by these children and pray for these kids one by one. Just praying. We need to pray like we should. In all things, by prayer and supplication, we need to make our request known to you, God. We need to be praying. And I pray, God, that we would be putting on the armor every day to have protection so that when we go out into the world, the kingdom of darkness, we can give you glory in everything we do. Whatever the need, Lord, we pray that you would have your way in this invitation. And we ask this in Jesus' name.